I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's our sin prevention. It's our nourishment. It's like honey in the honeycomb, the psalmist said. The word of God is a fire shut up in our bones. It's a hammer that breaks up. It's a sword that pierces the dividing asunder. Amen. The word of God. This book right here that we hold in our hands, we are so glad for it. Now, if your life is not balanced around it, if our lives are balanced around something besides this word of God, then we're not balanced right. If you lived your life this week on whatever crossed your mind and did whatever you felt like doing without consulting this book, you probably didn't live very good. You read your newspaper and listened to your radio and listened to the gossip around the water cooler at work and you didn't look into this, you probably haven't lived a real sanctified life this week. You say, boy, you're getting down on it now. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Isn't it the truth? We can't do that which is right in our own eyes. We must do what this Bible says. And that's why all these different interpretations are not a good thing. Because people are just trying to, they're just trying to fix it to suit themselves. They're like the little boy that wanted to be 6 foot tall so bad he just went and got a little ruler and made his own ruler and wrote 6 foot on it. And he wasn't but 3 foot, but he made a ruler that was 3 foot tall and put 6 foot on it, and he felt like he was 6 foot tall. Was he? No, he was 3 foot tall. Here's the ruler right here. Well, I'm doing as good as my neighbor. Well, your neighbor might be a drug dealer. You need a bigger yardstick than that. Right here's our yardstick. Amen? All right. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And to put it in modern common terms, what goes around comes around. And why beholdest thou, why do you look at that little sliver in your brother's eye and don't consider the beam, the big old log that's in your own eye? And Jesus tells them what they are. He calls them hypocrites that do that. 7th chapter of Matthew, or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, cast the beam out of thine eye, own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, these have been lessons the last few Sundays. We've dealt with this. Last Sunday, we talked about the 6th verse. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Of course, we dealt with that the best we could. And, you know, there comes a time people get in such a shape that they're not worthy to hear the holy things of God. And, you know, you've got to ask God for wisdom on what to say and when to say it and who to say it to. Can you say amen? Y'all believe that? And now we're going into verse 7, and it's this 7, 8, 9, and on down is a wonderful lesson talking about prayer and perseverance of prayer. And I want to deal with that for a few minutes here this morning. We have some tools at our disposal that if we're not careful, we'll not use them adequately, and we'll end up defeated. One of those weapons is the Word of God, the King James, unadulterated Word of the Lord. Not just hearing the Word, but being a doer of the Word. Applying the Bible to our lives. Isn't it somehow we apply it to our neighbor quicker than we'll apply it to ourselves? But you know, that doesn't help anything. Let's apply the Bible to our lives. Our lives. not our wife or husband or children necessarily altogether, but apply the Bible to our lives. Amen. And you know, if we'll live this, it'll speak volumes for the Word of God. If we'll live the Bible, how many's ever heard that old phrase that to see a sermon beats hearing a sermon anytime? Well, that sure didn't get much of a response. I'd rather watch a life lived out and somebody tell me how to live. That has the most effect. Now, there's another tool in our arsenal, amen, that many times we count as maybe not as important. But I want you to look at verse 7, that first word, what's it say? Ask. Ask. Amen. And if, all right, that's all it said. Ask. All right. Then what is the results of asking? Read it. What's it say next? And it shall be given you. That's all there is to it. Oh, y'all not helping me this morning. That's all it said. Now you say, well, I know there's more to it than that. Well, maybe we're making more to it than they ought to be to it. You say, well, there's other scriptures. There is other scriptures. I know they are. There's scripture that says whatever we ask according to the will of God, if we believe we have it, you got to have faith. I understand that. Amen. But, you know, really, asking is a certain measure of faith, isn't it? Huh? Praise God. Y'all all right out there? Y'all, I don't want you to get too comfortable on me here this morning. It can be dangerous for us all. Hallelujah. You can fall out and hurt yourself. And then we'd have to practice this prayer. Ask. Ask, and it shall be given thee. I'm going to tell you. Now listen, I know I've got the right message this morning. And so you might as well just tolerate me here for the next 20 minutes. But I'm going to tell you something. How many can see the need? Let's start out with our world today. Huh? All right. How many can see a great need for our church today? All right. How many can see great needs for our families? Huh? How many can see great needs for us individually? Okay. Now, I want to ask us, how have we survived this long? How have we survived this long? How has America survived this long? America, help me, Brother Mike, if I miss this, but I can't retain things. I used to read. I could hold on to it a little longer. But I want to ask you, how many, I believe America is the oldest democracy republic in the history of the world. Is that right? Huh? Yeah, I think it is. You say, what does that mean? Well, before, there's usually an overthrow, amen, and another government takes over another government, but America, amen. And I want to ask you, how many thinks America has stood on its own good merits? I'll tell you what happened. That one word. What's that word again at the beginning of that verse 7? Ask. Brother, we had a praying people. America had praying people. Praise God. You know, when you look at some history, I've got a few books, and there's some excerpts out of the journal of people like Christopher Columbus, for instance. And as he came, his journal of when he sailed across from England or he didn't come from England, but when he sailed across from Spain, I think supported his endeavors. And when he sailed across, and the reason that he sailed across looking for a new world, amen, he wrote it right in that journal. He was serving God. He was a servant of God. Amen. When America was founded and the Puritans and the Pilgrims came to America, they came the Mayflower Pact. You can take excerpts out of those governmental documents And you'll see they came over here for a purpose. And that purpose was to build a church where they could worship God like they felt like worshiping God without being overseen by the government, amen, and a state church that told them when and how to worship, amen, and send them the preachers that they had to accept whether they were men of God or not. And so they came to America, amen, and America is an answer to prayer this morning, amen. You may not believe that, but America is an answer to prayer, and that's why I love America. Amen. You may not understand this, but the church that we go to right here, this building right here beside of this road, amen, the property, amen, that was gave to these preachers to build this church right here beside of this road, amen, it was an answer to prayer, amen. The group, Brother Zane, amen, that is in this place, the original members that are here, amen, just a few of you left, amen, you're here because of an answer to prayer, amen, because somebody, amen, heard this story right here. Ask and it shall be given you. Amen. Listen, we cannot make it any more complicated than that. We cannot add this or that to that. And we cannot say that was for another day. Amen. If we're going to get what we need in this house this morning, we're going to have to get back to verse 7 where the Bible said, ask and it shall be given you. There's some things that we will not receive if we don't pray about them. Hallelujah. Now does that seem simple to you? Look what else it said. What's the next word? Seek. Seek. It's a little quiet in here this morning. That's all right. We can't get away from this lesson today. Some of you this morning, all of us this morning. And you may, and you know, there's things we pray about. And here's what stumps you sometimes. And you're going to have to understand this. Amen. Prayer, sometimes, amen, we don't get what we ask for. You say, well, what is this here? You know, now for various reasons, James goes through, you have not because you ask not. That's one reason why we don't get what we need. We don't ask for it. We try everything else before we pray about it. But brother and sister, that ought to be the first thing we do about it, is pray about it. Ain't that right? And I'll tell you what, if I fall out here in the pulpit, and I might do it, I'm in the pulpit more than out of it most of the time, seems like. But it may come that I'll fall out in that, and I want to ask you, I'm not so deep in this that I wouldn't want you to call 911, but before you do, I'd love for you to pray for me. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, because, and I know they're really quick. Hey, man, you know, they could be here in no time at all. But, brother, that might be too long. And I'll tell you, there's a God that can work in just a thought. And if you'll ask, how many know that if we ask, we can receive from the Lord? Oh, come on, church. Y'all looking at me like you don't believe in prayer. How many believes in prayer this morning? How many knows you would not be here at all, if we had not asked God for something and God do what we ask him to do? Hallelujah. It's because something doesn't transpire. I prayed for people I wanted to be saved. Amen. And it looked like they get worse. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to say God doesn't answer prayer? Why, sure he does. He saved me when I asked him, and he'd save them if they'd ask him. You see, God gives people their own, has a will for them, and they have a will for themselves. And if their will is different than God's will, then they're not going to get saved. And there's things in our lives that we do realize. You wonder, like James, Herod took James and killed him. And then he captured Peter and was going to kill him the same way, but Easter came in there and he didn't want to do it on a holiday and get in trouble with the people. So he said, I'm going to put him in hold, and after Easter, I'm going to kill him just like I killed James. But the Bible said the church began to pray for him, amen, and the angel of the Lord came in, and Peter got out and lived to be, amen, an older man. Amen. Help me preach a little. Because there was a group of people down at the church house that didn't get discouraged, amen, but asked God one more time to deliver this preacher, hallelujah. Can you say amen? How many understands what I'm preaching to you this morning? Ask and it shall be given. Seek. Seek. And ye shall find. Now seeking is not the same as asking. How many sees that? Asking. Seeking is different. You come to the door, you know, knock on the door, and your wife comes to the door, and you say, will you get my cell phone? And she just hand it to you, and you go on your way. You come to the door and knock on the door, and your wife's not there. Then you've got to do something different. You've got to go in and seek your cell phone. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a little bit different, and it might take a little bit longer. And it might involve some different things. And so here's a point in prayer that we've got to understand. Prayer is not just simply treating God like Santa Claus and making a list and saying, come Christmas, can I have these gifts? But there's some times when we need something from God, and I'm going to have to be honest with you. A lot of the time, a majority of the time, amen, we don't just receive, amen, like this. We have to seek God for a thing, amen, what we need. And, you know, we need to ask for the thing, amen, according to God's will. Would you want to ask God for something that he really didn't want you to have? You know, God is wiser and more sovereign than you, and he's not going to give you what it's not his will to do. Amen. You could ask him for a lot of money and a new car, amen, and a new husband or wife. No. He's not going to do that because that's not according to his will. Amen. But brother, that's not the point I want to preach on. I want to preach on today that the Bible said if we'd ask, we'd receive. If we'd seek, what did the Bible say that the result of our seeking would be? We shall find. You ever tell one of your children, they say, I can't find my tennis shoes? And you'll say, go look for them. I've looked for them for 2 days. Well, go look again. Oh! They go in there and look. Here they come out with their tennis shoes. Where'd you find them? In my closet. Huh? Under the bed. We need to seek God till we... How? Find him. Is it going to be worth the search? Will it be worth the search to seek him? All right. Let's go on a little further. There's a lot of Word of God in here. And I want to tell you what this preacher feels right now. Amen. We will be a victorious church when we realize the truth of this right here. We've got to ask. We've got to pray. Amen. I know at times in services here, amen, somebody will come to pray and it just throw the whole program out. And 90% of the audience, amen, don't know what to do with themselves. And they just watch the clock till baloney time and out the door. But really, this is the house of prayer. This is where we seek God. This is where we ask God for mercy. There's where we petition the Lord to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. If you take that out of this church, we don't have a church. Can't just simply preach and sing our way into the victory. We can't just preach and sing our way. If my preaching never provokes you to pray, it ain't much. If our singing and worship never provokes us to seek God, then we ain't doing much. Huh? It's so important. All right, go to the next key word in that verse. Somebody say what it is. What we do after we ask and seek what? Knock. What is knock? Time is so short anymore that we run, you know, in the church even. I do it myself. Bless your hearts. I slide in broadside. Trying to get in the door. Watch out. Here they come. And we pile in, flop into the pew and say, "Whew, we made it." And our time, and then we start watching. And a lot of times anybody got a pager on them today? Now, I'm not jumping on. I'm not going to preach against you now. Anybody bring a pager and you look down at it every now and then? I got one of them cellular phones. You ever hear of them? And if I'm out of town, you know, I carry that in church with me. And you say, well, that's distracting. But when you got somebody in the hospital or you got little children at home, you know, and you're out of socket, you want to be in socket as quick as you can. So I'll carry that in there to vibrate in my pocket. And sometimes it'll go off. And I have had it go off and I forget I had it in there. And I thought, oh, Lord, there's the big one coming on. And I realized, oh, that's not my heart. That's this phone I got in this crazy pocket here. But we're in that generation where we're always looking at the clock or looking at our pager or checking our answering machine, our voicemails. Why do we do ourselves like this? We do, don't we? I mean, say, not all of us. Some of you have got to that point where it don't matter. And I thank God I'm headed there too, I reckon. Huh? That's right. My oldest daughter told me when I got there, she's going not to worry. She'd take care of me, Brother Kenny. She said she'd put me in a wheelchair and roll me down the hill toward the door of the nursing home. That's nice of her, wasn't it? Appreciate her taking care of me. I know we get to that point where it don't matter, but right now we're in that age where waiting. We get down to pray for patience, Brother Tommy, and this is the way we pray about it. God, give me patience right now. And we really need it, don't we? We can't hardly wait, but how many knows that sometimes to get our answer, we don't quit praying. That's why we don't get what we're asking. We quit too soon. We got to keep knocking. Now, this is not a popular message today because people don't have time to wait. They don't have time to keep knocking. But what did the Bible say? If we keep knocking, what will happen? It shall be open. Because he kept on knocking. Now, brother, this is a vital message to our little church here today. There's lots of needs out here. There are people out here that are in trouble. They're hurting. They need healing. They got loved ones they need. But I'm going to tell you, and how many knows this? Listen to this. I want to read some more of this. I wanted to get four or five of these verses, but look at this right here. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. All right? He goes into another phase of this, and I've got 5 minutes or so. I want you to look at this with me. It says, or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Now, this is talking about prayer, perseverant, persistent prayer. And then he goes to father and he says, all right, dad, how many of you men, in your naturally, and you're not a reprobate and you're not wicked, if your son came and asked for bread, dad, I need bread. Would you go out of the yard and dig him out an old sandstone and bring it back in and say, did you say bread, son? Yeah, dad, I need some bread. Here you go. It's sandstone bread. No. There's not of that, unless he's a nut or on dope or something. Huh? If his son came wanting bread, you know what you do? You go straight in there. If you got a bread box, you go in there. And if you don't, you call, you'd get somebody, and you'd feed that boy. He says, all right. All right, now look what he said. Come on now, I'm gonna wind this up here in just a minute. Hey man, you say, well, this sure is a short little old lesson here. I'll tell you, if you can get this lesson right here, and instead of just dying, instead of just getting bitter, instead of just losing out and going back to the world, you'll look at your obstacles, and you say, I'm gonna ask God, I'm gonna seek God, I'm gonna keep knocking until God moves this for me. Amen. Now look at this right here. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now you see what he's talking about, don't you? Bread, of course, is the staple of life and nourishment for the body to keep him alive. It's something he needs. A fish, that's food. That's at, in the day that we're reading of here, it was what they ate, you know. Bread and fish on the fire. It was their daily life, daily nourishment. He said, if you ask, I'm telling you, God will give you the needs of your life. I mean, you might be like me and kind of homely like, and you go to the mirror and pray for good looks, and you might just be out. You may never get it. Huh? But you can go to God and say, God, I need this to feed my family. I need this to pay this bill. I need this to keep on living. And you know, God will do it for you. Can I get a witness? Huh? Now listen to this. If ye then, being evil, and you know that offends us, but that's what we are. Until God saved us, we were just evil people. And he said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Oh, I love that right there. Mark that down. Y'all mark in your Bible. Who marks in your Bible? Mark that right there. Put a little star out by that and put, this blesses my pastor. I'm telling you. Read it to me again. Read it. Read it right there. Read it. Read it, Sister Debbie. Can you read it? Go ahead. Oh, God, help me. Go ahead. How much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father in heaven give good things to them. Good things to them that ask. You know what I need this morning, Sister Hilda? I need good things in my life. I'm not talking about, hey, I've got, I don't know if you know, I got a new suit. $100. That's pretty cheap. You say, well, that's pretty cheap, really. Huh? I've got it. I'm not, I lost a little weight because I had a little sugar attack. I had to quit eating candy bars. And I used to eat about 40 pounds of candy bars. Huh? And Mountain Dew. I quit drinking them Mountain Dews. And I went, but it ain't because God ain't blessing me. I mean, I could eat a candy bar. I could afford one, but I can't afford one. You understand what I mean? But what are the good things? Oh, how about peace of mind? You think anybody here think that's a good thing? How about the joy of the Lord? You think God will give you that if you'll ask him? How about daily bread? You think God will give you daily bread if you'll just ask him? And sometimes we got to seek it. And sometimes we got to keep knocking. You remember the story? Oh, there's a verse in here. I got to quit, but there's one word. What's that first word of that next verse, Sister Dave? What is that? Therefore. Uh-oh. Now, I want to tell you what that therefore means. Man, I studied over that last night, Brother Charlie, it racked my brain. Now, what's this therefore after all this mean? Well, that he just told us how we'd ask, we'd receive, and knock, and he'd open, and seek, and we'd find. And then he says, because you have all this potential, Therefore, here's something here's an attitude that you need to adopt. And it's called the old golden rule. How many can knows what the golden rule is? It's not talking about money. All right? Read it. Read the golden rule right there. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them. And that's not the end of it. For this is the law and the prophets. Sweet Lamb of God. Did you get that? Brother, he was talking to a bunch of Jews right there, and I don't say it derogatorily, but he was talking to a bunch of Jews right there that really had a lot of stock in the law and the prophets. And then he said, do unto others as you would have them. A lot of times we misquote that. Do unto others as they do unto you. Oh, that'd be nip and tuck, wouldn't it? That'd be fighting out. That'd be he bust your nose, you bust his. That's not what it said. Do unto others. This is a wonderful law of life. A wonderful law of life. What's this got to do with prayer? He said, if I'm going to answer your prayers, therefore I want you to treat other people like you want to be treated yourself. This is the law and the prophets. Brother, you don't think that would clean the jailhouse out? Huh? You don't think that'd clean the jailhouses out if people started treating each other like they wanted to be treated? Brother, that's the law and the prophets. That is the law of God. That's the Mosaic law. That's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets of God. That Old Testament is fulfilled. Hey, I want to tell you, we're into a good deal right here. Amen. And I think it's a small price to pay to have our prayers answered, have our doors open, and to be able to find the thing we seek for is just treat people right. Brother, you don't think that me a harp or something. I just play. Let's stand. Woo, sweet Lamb of God. Does anybody know that song that Nathan wrote, Nathan Marquis wrote, that singing group made? Brother Mike, do you sing that? It ain't too late for you, is it? If you get that, I Can Pray. You've heard it, ain't you? Oh, that's a pretty song. What Can I Do, the song says. I don't know how it goes. Anybody know how it goes? But it says, at the end, he says, I can pray. How about you? Hey, you say, brother, I mean, I'm telling you, there's so many needs in my life, I don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you which way to turn, sweet soul. I'm telling you right now. Turn to the altar. Now, I hope I'm not going out too far here, but I'm going to tell you, in any situation, that's where we need to turn. Turn to that altar. Ask, seek, knock. And realize that our Father, amen, knows how to give good gifts unto His children. And therefore, amen, do unto those that you would have them do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen.